Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, and talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a success coach, spokeswoman, and fundraiser with Successimo.com, a free social networking, informational, and inspirational website. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and a winologist expert. She is your host today on January Jones sharing Successimo stories. So sit back and relax and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones and her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn while you earn. These stories plus sharing equal Successimo.com. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you're entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of someone called the cleaning coach? Would you like to be coached by a real cleaning expert? Have you ever heard about the art of green housekeeping? Tell me, would you like some daily cleaning tips? Have you ever heard about healthy and fun green cooking? Can you imagine having a healthy, happy green home for your family? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the cleaning answers that you may have been looking for? Now, are you ready to learn while you earn? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Successimo Stories. Today I will be introducing you to two guests who are success coaches extraordinaire. They have provided us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons. Before I introduce my first guest, I'd love to invite you to call in. The number is 818-431-8506. That's 818-431-8506. Do call in with any questions that you have during our interview today. Now, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my first guest today. Our guest is called the Cleaning Coach. She is a nationally recognized green homekeeping expert dedicated to educating people on keeping their homes, schools, and work areas green. From obvious dangers like toxic chemicals under the sink to hidden hazards that can be found in the office, this guest helps teach simple steps to keeping families and pets safe from hidden toxins and health risks. Our coach's mission is to teach and encourage others in the art of green homekeeping. She is a green consultant whose wit, insight, and humor has raised the green awareness in all of us. She writes for a number of websites like The Daily Green and is also featured as the green expert for TheExaminer.com in Boston. She is the founder and president of the Green Clean University, offering programs and products for green lifestyle management. This expert's warm and energetic workshops and trainings serve to improve awareness of simple steps that make a home safer for everyone. Her speaking skills put a room in the enthusiastic and open frame mind about thinking green. Clients such as National Grid, Mass Maritime Academy, and Mass Audubon Society have used her material to help remove toxins in the home and in the workplace. It is my great pleasure to welcome to our show today Leslie Reichert. Hi, Leslie. How are you doing?
I'm great, Jenny. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this. I mean, you've created a cottage industry based on green. Tell us a little bit about your early background, your education, and tell us if you had some early mentors yourself.
I did. I actually, my background started in chemistry. I was a chemical engineer in college.
Okay.
And realized that I didn't want to be in a lab. That was one of the things one of my professors had said to me was, you know, I hope you realize you're going to be stuck in a lab doing research. And I was like, oh, no, I need people. Can't do that.
You're a people
person.
So
I hurried up and yes, got out of that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my life kind of took some turns. I was in banking for a while, did insurance for a while, and then I ended up deciding I wanted to own my own business because I was going to turn into a mom.
Okay.
And I started a homekeeping business or a house cleaning service back
okay.
then.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew it to a very large, it was one of the largest in the Blackstone Valley in Massachusetts. And while I was doing that, I realized that I was starting to get sick. I actually had issues with my immune system.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Yeah. It was, I was doing some of the cleaning. You know, we were cleaning, you know, maybe three houses a day.
Uh-huh.
If you're doing three houses a day, that's nine bathrooms. And I was being exposed to a lot of toxins.
Uh-huh.
And so I came around to finding out that there were some really great green cleaners that do work. And that led to my book and what I do now.
Fantastic. And was your mother a good housekeeper? Were you trained early in the art of housekeeping?
That's kind of a family joke. she's still my mother and my aunt. I can hear both of them saying, I can't believe you're in the cleaning industry. This is so strange. You know, I was a typical teenager, and you know, the last thing I wanted to do was help around the house. So it wasn't until I had my own home that I realized you had to learn how to take care of things.
Wonderful. Well, your timing is perfect because it's a very big topic, green, the environment. It's very current, and now your book. Now, how long did it take you to write your book?
The book took me about a year. What we did was it's based around my great-grandmother, and she is probably my biggest mentor, even though she's no longer with us. I got to meet her, and I was given a picture of her, so her picture is in the book of her being a mom back then in around the late 1800s.
Uh-huh.
And it's a picture of her holding my grandmother out in western Pennsylvania. So very meaningful. And then I ended up having a laundry soap recipe that she probably was using back then. And we tested it and found all the ingredients. So that was kind of the keystone for the rest of the recipes in the book.
Okay. Now, so you provide recipes, and these are all green recipes, right, for people who want to make their own cleaning supplies.
Exactly. This is for somebody who's I deal with a lot of people that are very sensitive to both to scents and also to chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is that book where they just can't find anything that's going to work for them in the marketplace, and they're made out of things in their pantry.
Oh, my gosh. There's,
yeah, this is all stuff that comes out of your pantry.
Okay.
So we use vinegar, baking soda, you know, things that you've heard of or may have tried but never really had much success with. These are recipes that work.
Okay. Well, now, talking about recipes, I'm curious to know your recipe, your cocktail for removing ink.
Well,
I'm going to be writing this down.
Yeah. I will share with your listeners, there's a place they can go on my website where they can get a free recipe and actually see a video of how to mix it up and how to use it. So they don't have to remember. My motto is don't remember anything. I'll provide it for you.
But, okay.
Too much to think about. Don't worry about that.
I like your style.
Well, I'm in that boat. I can't remember everything. So if somebody gives me something and tells me where to go, then I don't have to write it down, and I won't lose it on a piece of paper. I mean, we're all in the same boat.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. But the secret thing for ink is actually alcohol.
Oh.
So you could, yeah. You can use, that's kind of the secret ingredient in Dawn dish soap. Everybody loves Dawn dish soap.
Uh-huh.
Really what it is just a regular dish soap with alcohol in it.
Okay.
And, yeah, the alcohol cuts through the grease and it cuts through the ink.
Wow.
Yeah, so on my blog, if you go to my website, which is greencleaningcoach.com,
mm-hmm.
and up in the top corner there's a little label that says blog, and there's an article I did in my blog about how I ruined my really expensive, what I call my skinny jeans that aren't skinny anymore, but, you know, I had a pen blow up in my pants, and
uh-huh.
it was a big, huge ink spot, and all I did was use an old-fashioned soap and vodka. And
vodka.
The vodka was the alcohol. Yeah. And it broke down. It works.
Oh, my gosh. That is a great tip.
So everybody's got vodka or rubbing alcohol or something like that. So those two things will work great for you.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then if it doesn't work that well, you can just have a drink.
There you go.
that might even work better.
I like your style. That's good.
Well, now let's look at talk about your book a little bit. And it took you a year to write it, so I know that it was a labor of love, and that it you cover so many areas that you have cleaning tips for. Let's talk about the. We have a few minutes before the break. Let's talk about tips for the kitchen.
Okay.
Okay.
One of the things that people do that they are really incensed with right now is killing things in the kitchen, especially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's, let's disinfect it, let's kill the germs. And the amazing thing is there are three things that you can use to disinfect with that won't hurt anything.
Uh-huh.
One is white vinegar.
Okay.
The second is alcohol, rubbing alcohol or vodka.
Uh-huh.
And the third is hydrogen peroxide.
Hydrogen peroxide, okay.
Yeah. So those three things, even if you mix them together, won't hurt you, but they'll disinfect everything.
Oh, my gosh, that's wonderful. And that's totally safe, and you don't have to worry about any hidden chemicals or problems like that, do you?
Exactly. I mean, the hydrogen peroxide is the same stuff we're using on our teeth to whiten them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whitening strips are really the hydrogen peroxide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have a drink of vodka. It won't kill you. It's not the best, but, you know, it's not going to hurt you. And, you know, vinegar's in your pickles. So everything there is a kind of a pantry cleaner is what I call them. There's
uh-huh.
things out of your pantry instead of underneath your sink.
Okay.
And
okay.
So you can mix up an all-purpose kind of disinfectant with that, and that'll take care of most everything you've got going in your kitchen.
Wow, wonderful. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor, and when we come back, we'll be back with Leslie Reichert.
When you think that something is too good to be true, could you ever be wrong? The answer is yes, yes, yes when it comes to Successimo.com, because you will earn while you learn, and it will be free, free, free. Successimo.com is a social networking site that will change the way you learn and earn money while you work on your computer at home. This free website provides continuous learning opportunities while rewarding you for taking lessons and inviting others to join with you receiving inspirational information. You'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. Just what does free mean to users at Successimo.com? It means that there are no fees, no donations, no pledges. You will never need cash, checks, or credit cards. All revenues are generated from advertisers at the website, just like Facebook and Twitter. This too-good-to-be-true social networking site is the newest paradigm on the Internet for home-based business and nonprofit organizations. Do you hate asking people for money? We all do. And the good news is that Successimo is a fundraiser for nonprofits that does not require money. It just requires small amounts of your time or your organization's time to raise funds. When you do lesson activities, you'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. When you think of Successimo.com, you need to think learn while you earn, and always remember that passion plus purpose equals prosperity. Successimo.com is not only too good to be true, it is unbelievably innovative, and there are no downsides since no money is ever required. Successimo.com is the right website for now because it is the first one ever to pay people to participate. No one else does this. So sign up now and stop whining, start winning, and start being Successimo. Successimo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back with January Jones and my guest, Leslie Reichart, sharing Successimo stories. Leslie, would you give your website information again and also tell my listeners where they can find your book?
Yes, my website is www.greencleaningcoach.com, and that's the place where we were talking about earlier where they can get a free recipe and a video on how to use it.
Wonderful,
and the
wonderful.
Book, yeah, and my book's available on Amazon.com, and it's also available in the Whole Foods on the East Coast.
Oh, wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's quite impressive. Now, when will it be at Whole Foods on the West Coast? Soon, I hope.
Oh, fingers crossed. Go to your local Whole Foods and tell them you need it.
Okay, I will do that. You know, I usually like to ask my guests about something in their life that was unexpected that contributed to their eventual successful career. Now, you've already shared that you had an immune disease or a problem, and that led to your cleaning career. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. Looking for alternatives, yes.
Okay. And now when you look back on your career, do you have a defining moment, something that you could share that was very exciting for you as a career woman working on your own from your own home?
Well, I'll tell you, the experience that I remember, and I even put it in my book, was I was at the International Houseware Show, which is in Chicago, one year. Usually go. And at the Houseware Show, they have a place in the back called the Goho Theater where all the celebrity chefs perform.
Uh-huh.
And I always used to go back there and just kind of sit and watch how the celebrity chefs performed in front of groups and spoke and all the different ways they went about things. But at the end of the show, I was really ready. You know, it was the end of the day, and I called my husband. I said, you know what, I'm supposed to have another day here, but I just want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get on a plane? Get me home early. And he said, get back in there. And he's really my coach. He's my coach. He's like, get back in there and you make something happen.
Oh.
I hung up the phone and I was like, okay, I can do this. So I went back to the theater and I ended up figuring out a way how to perform the next year. So instead of being a spectator the next year, I was actually up on stage with the celebrity chefs and I got to perform with Rachel Ray and Paula Deen.
Exciting. And
it was just a...
Was your performance based on your cleaning skills?
Yeah, because when I went up there and I went back and watched, I saw this girl in between each celebrity chef, and she was taking a glass cleaner and a paper towel, and she was cleaning the countertops where they were making all these wonderful foods.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's the last thing you want to be cleaning up with up there.
Okay.
So I went to the show guys, and I said, how about if I just, you know, come in between each chef and kind of give a little tip or a different product that would work better? And they thought they loved it.
Oh, yeah.
They loved the idea. So now, so I'm kind of like the celebrity cleaning person. So I don't do the cooking, but I clean up after them.
Oh, that's fabulous. See, now that's just being totally aware and open to new opportunities. I'm so glad your husband sent you back in there.
Me too. That was the beginning of everything I do right now. So I give him all that.
Well, I definitely would describe that as a defining moment. Now, are you also a mother?
I am. I have three children. One is 22, 17, and a 13-year-old.
Oh, wonderful. That's fabulous. And I'm sure they're a wonderful support to you. Let's talk a little bit now about daily cleaning tips. What is the tip that you would give my listeners if they have to clean something that's metal?
Well, I have a great stainless steel cleaner that they can use, and that seems to be one of the things that's really frustrating for people right now.
Totally.
Yeah. So it's really a simple thing, which is basically using club soda, a little bit of borax, and some baking soda, and creating a thin paste with that.
Uh-huh.
And that will cut through any of the grease that you have built up on stainless steel.
Wow. And that's all right in your pantry, isn't it?
Exactly. And the other thing I usually recommend, too, is for a quick clean, which you can do daily, is there's a great cloth out there called, I call it the blue cloth, and it's a very fine woven microfiber cloth. It doesn't have big loops. A lot of people have seen the microfiber everywhere, but this is a very silky-looking cloth, and it will clean glass or anything shiny with just water.
Oh, my gosh. That is fantastic. Where would we find this blue cloth? Is it a magic cloth?
It seems like it's magic, but it's really just technology. And if you go on my website up in the top corner again, there's one that says shop.
Okay, guys.
Out there. Yeah.
Everyone listening, I'm going to repeat this again. The website is www.greencleaningcoach.com. I have been there. I haven't been able to spend a lot of time, but it is going to be on my bucket list. Also, I'm going to sign up my daughters, who are all new beginning housekeepers. And I also recommend your book, The Joy of Green Cleaning. Now, this would be a fantastic gift to give to a young bride or any young woman starting out with her family, because these are things that they can just make on their own. Now, Leslie, how did you discover what to use? Did you experiment a lot to figure out what things to use, or did it just come from your chemistry background?
A little of both. Because I know what each one of the different ingredients do, for example, white vinegar is a natural acid.
Okay.
You know, baking soda is a natural lifter. You know, so you kind of figure out what each individual ingredient does, and then what you're trying to do is clean, say, grease, so you know you're going to need a little bit of an acid. You might need the alcohol to cut things. And we just would, we really would. We turned my kitchen into a lab. It was crazy for a little while. But it all worked. That was the fun part.
I've seen your picture, and you're a lovely gal, and I can't imagine you as the mad scientist. But I'm sure that you had a lot of fun doing this. Now, your book covers everything. It covers every room in the house and probably even goes into the closets and places that we don't want anyone to see. All those secret tips. I hope that you're eventually going to be, I hope they get you into Oprah's magazine, and I hope you're going to be doing some television shows in the future.
I would love to. I really would. I've done some TV spots out here, and I would love to be into a national television show. That would be fabulous.
Yeah. You would be perfect. I can see it happening for you, and I'm going to spread the word to everyone I know about you. Now, how about giving us a few cleaning tips, a daily cleaning tip for the bathroom? That's always tricky. Okay. Now, if you were out cleaning 9 bathrooms a day, my gosh, girl.
Yeah, and I learned the hard way that you don't need to use the really toxic chemicals. So when I get up in front of a group of people, I always ask, you know, who's using the cleaner that makes their eyes water and their nose run? Don't do that anymore. There's one thing that I call, it's an eco sponge. It's kind of like a Mr. Eraser sponge. And it uses the technology of friction. And what you want to do is get one of those sponges, and while you're in the shower, clean it with this sponge.
Oh, okay.
Because it'll just literally rub off all of the soap scum while you're in there.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. And then you can have your extra 5 minutes.
Okay.
You know, you don't feel guilty because you're standing.
This is a fun activity you can share with the entire family.
Well, I bribe my teenagers because I tell them, because they love to just stand in the hot water for, I mean, they'd stand in there for a day.
I know.
You can have your, give them the extra 10 minutes, give them the sponge and say, look, I'll let you stay in there as long as you rub down the walls with the sponge. And they do it.
Oh, wonderful. That's a great, great idea. I'm going to use that for sure. And, you know, funny thing about it, my husband would love doing that.
There you go. I have to get you one of these sponges.
And also, all my grandchildren, just like yours, they all stay in the shower forever. Their mothers can never get them out, so that would be perfect.
Yeah, you might as well bribe them with something because, you know, they're not going to get out of the shower. You can't make them, but if they're in there and they at least try and make some of it go away, it's a win.
Yeah, that's, every little bit helps when you're trying to do this. Also, once they do the shower, then if you have the blue cloth in every bathroom, they'd be able to do the the windows or the mirrors, wouldn't they?
Exactly, because they have to wipe off the fog they created anyway, right?
Yeah, that'd
so
be perfect.
Use that dry blue cloth, and now they've cleaned the mirror, and they don't even realize it.
Oh, I this is fabulous. It may be very devious, but I
don't care.
I think it's very, very fabulous. Okay, now you have some other green. I'm going to skip down to some other green ideas. Do you have any other little tips you could share with my listeners today, Leslie?
Well, let's see. You've got a lot of different things you can do for pets. One of the things that people are probably going to start dealing with as the weather gets warmer is their carpets are going to want to make their carpets smell a little better.
Yeah.
And you can do that with just a little bit of baking soda and borax. And then I'm a big fan of using essential oils for a scent. So instead of having, pure essential oils really have, very few people have sensitivities to them. But it does make your house and makes you feel better when you're using them. So you mix 50-50, a little baking soda, a little bit of borax, a couple drops of lemon, and you can put that combo in your vacuum bag even.
Oh, great.
So when you're vacuuming, it'll take the scents out.
Oh, that's fantastic, especially with dogs shed. What's your tip for dogs shedding hair? How do you clean the sofa?
You can't make them stop. I can't help you with the shedding, but the real easy thing to do is a rubber glove.
Okay.
So if you put a rubber glove on your hand and just go over the couch, it's going to create static electricity, and the dog hair will just come right to the edge, and you can pull it right off.
You go, girl. That is... one of those latex thick rubber gloves, right?
Exactly. Yep. Just one of those little latex. You can use non-latex. It doesn't matter. It's just the static that will be created, and it'll pull it right off.
Do you realize what this tip is going to do? This is going to just go nationwide. Everyone's going. This is something everyone who has a dog needs to know about.
Well, the other thing you can do is that same tip, do it on, like, you know how you have area rugs that just won't come clean even when you vacuum them with the dog hair?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Your Orientals or whatever, just use that rug and just go right over the rug, and it's like using a magic eraser. It literally will just pull the dog hair right off for you.
Oh, I tell you, you're probably going to be invited on Animal Planet.
New one. I never thought of that.
You would be a big, big hit there. You know, I want to ask you to come back again because I've got a million cleaning questions to ask you, and I want everyone to go to your website, www.greencleaningcoach.com, and then buy Leslie's book, The Joy of Green Cleaning. And, Leslie, we will look forward to having you as a success coach at our Successimo website in the near future because you are definitely someone I want to share with the world.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you, and we will have you back. And now we're going to have a brief word about your host.
Lately, there's been a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about, why they whine, and most importantly, how to stop them from whining. The 11th Commandment deals with all of the complaints and causes, and there are over 100-plus cures for whining with humor and hope in this edition. This is the perfect gift to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. It'll make you laugh at yourself and others. John Curtis, a distinguished author, reminds us that it is the perfect gift for anyone who wants to be healthy and happy with humor, honey, and hope, and for people who are just hopeless. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com and at the Successimo.com Coaches Bookstore. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. As Sally Shields, best-selling author, states, January Jones gets to the core of the matter with her quick-witted tips and cures that cut to the chase and will put any seasoned whiner to shame. So get reading and stop whining and start winning with Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment.
Welcome back to the second half of our show today, sharing successful stories with January Jones. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever known someone who has profoundly influenced your life? Are you someone who has always looked up to a teacher or a very special mentor? Would you like to learn more about teenagers? Can you imagine failing your way to success? Yes, you heard me right, failing your way to success. Do you ever make an effort to call people by their name? Yeah, I always see people and I can remember their face, but for the life of me, I have a hard time remembering their name. That's an important thing. When was the last time you shot for the stars? And here's another good question. Did your granddaddy ever give you advice? Or better yet, are you now ready to meet someone who can help you make big changes in small steps? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to the second half of our show today. I want to tell you a little bit about my next guest. He is a return guest, and I'm thrilled to have him on the show. Our guest grew up as a student athlete. However, he admits that he was more of an athlete than a student. Well, I can relate to that. Today, however, he has successfully completed 12 years of college and earned 7 degrees. Yes, you heard me right. I said 7 degrees. This coach is an educator, author, speaker, and success coach. He teaches in Connecticut's largest inner-city high school. He has written articles for the United States' oldest newspaper, the Hartford Courant. In addition, this expert has written and traditionally published his teen leadership book called Feeling Lucky. Finally, he is also a teacher consultant for the National Writing Project. It is my pleasure to welcome back to the show Daniel Blatchard. Hi, Daniel. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Wonderful, January. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Oh,
boy, kind words.
No. Well, they're all true, and I love having you on the show. You're one of the most informative and inspirational coaches that we have at successimo.com. And also, you are one of the most prolific. I think you have posted, I have it in front of me, you've posted so many fantastic articles. I don't know where to begin. First of all, let me go back and have you briefly share a little bit about your background and what you're up to lately. What's your newest project?
Oh, gosh, I'm not even quite sure where to begin on that one, January. That's so... So many balls in the air right now. It's amazing.
Oh, wonderful.
But background, just a real quick background. Born and raised here in Connecticut, large family, middle class. We never really had much, but we always seemed to get by. And one of the things that I really focused on was sports, as you had mentioned. Mm-hmm. And, I was maybe a C student. And I really admit I wasn't that good of a student, wasn't that interested in school. And I was just kind of maybe interested in maybe trying to talk to a couple of girls and going there and playing sports and hanging out with the guys. And that was about it. And I mean, thank God I did excel, at least that. I did end up on a state championship football team and got the Thanksgiving Day game trophy. And I did end up as a two-time wrestling state champ and even wrestled in the Junior Olympics twice.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. And that success, I didn't know it at the time. Mm-hmm. But that success as a team,
okay, well, what I'm
pretty much
is,
laid the foundation for many, many other successes that would come later on. And like I said, I wasn't all that talented or all that gifted in the realm of school, but I was talented, and at least I worked very hard anyways, in sports, and I became successful from working hard in sports. And that has carried over to other aspects of my life, that whole work ethic, which I'm afraid a lot of our kids today are losing, and they don't have that work
now,
ethic.
This is interesting.
So with that, like that really helped me, that work ethic. And I've been involved in so many different things now because of that work ethic. I'm still getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 7 days a week, to write my third book right now. So, yeah, and I'm probably about 70 pages into my third book, and I'm actually writing the fourth book at the same time. So I'm probably about, yeah, imagine that. So I'm about 70 pages or 80 pages into the third book and fourth book because I'm writing them at the same time because I already have in my head a vision of how they're going to go.
Okay, you're going to have a whole series, and are they all going to start with healing?
Yeah, well, it's going to be the Granddaddy Secret series, and the first book is the 10th grade story, and that's called Feeling Lucky.
Uh-huh.
The sequel is the 11th grade story. The same kid, 11th grade, same teen, and that one's called Feeling Good, with a period after it. I should go back to Feeling Lucky. I had a question mark at the end because there's still some questions in this boy's mind. The 11th grade story is Feeling Good with a period, and he's feeling a little more solid about himself now that he's starting to make some progress. And then the 12th grade story, which I'm writing right now, is called Feeling Strong. With an exclamation point at the end, because now he's arrived. He really knows what he's got to do in life to succeed, and he's going to do it with vigor and passion. So that's the 11th grade or the 12th grade story, and all those three books are underneath the Granddaddy's Secret series. Now the book four that I'm writing, also it's the 100 secrets of Granddaddy in the original, the first book, and I'm taking those 100 secrets and I'm expanding them out to, let's say, a 2 or 3 page success article or team leadership article to explain how do you do, like, the simple things in life or the best things in life. What exactly does that mean? How do you do it? How do you become successful living by that philosophy? You know, the park is a great place to learn. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, what does that look like, and how do you actually do that in your life and live that secret of success?
Mm-hmm.
So I am writing those things. I just recently have a weekly column with the newspaper.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's been kind of neat. Okay. Every Tuesday, it's been coming out, and it's in a couple different newspapers right now.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, and I've been getting some emails and some communications on that, and that's going really well.
And are your topics eclectic, or are they specifically about teenagers, or what do you write about?
You know, they're topics right out of my books again.
Okay.
Right out of the Granddaddy's 100 Secrets.
Uh-huh.
So the topic's right out of there, and I just boil them right down to the, you know, the what you absolutely need to know in a quick read, a quick, simple, easy read. And they're in the newspaper every week now, so that's been kind of fun. And I've been getting a lot of positive feedback about that. The other thing I've been doing, January, is from my website, which is www.granddaddysecrets.com, I've been blogging from my website a few times a week, and I've been getting a tremendous amount of responses. I think just yesterday alone, I received 2,500 comments on my blog.
Oh, my gosh, how wonderful.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, it was just in one day. So I brought my wife onto my team to help me answer these blog comments. And it's like next to impossible to keep up. we'll give it a good college try.
Well, you are my fantasy success coach, and I'm so thrilled that I was able to recruit you for successmo.com because you're what it's all about, helping people find out how to be successful. That is such a powerful mission, and you are I'm so thrilled to hear you're doing so well.
No, we have to. You just have
there's
to
more,
it.
By the way.
I couldn't
you don't believe this, but I've just been picked. I've just been picked by the American Federation of Teachers to be the voice and face of educational reform in Connecticut. They now have a YouTube video of me that's all out there. My story and my face is on a postcard. that went out to the 186 Connecticut state legislators. And last Saturday, I was at the state Capitol building giving a speech to our Connecticut state legislators about educational reform. So I'm on that little boat, too, and that's been one heck of a ride so far as well. It's,
Your life has been quite
a ride.
It's just exploding, and it couldn't happen to a nicer person or a person who deserves it more. Let's talk a little bit about one of your articles, and I talked about it in the introduction, Call People by Their Names, and you write about that. And tell us why you feel that that is so important in today's impersonal world.
Well, I tell you, I know I've struggled with it for years, January. You know, I see a face, you think you recognize the face.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember the name. I know I've struggled with it. And pretty much everybody that's read that article, or every person that's been privy to the conversation of this Call People by Their Name, have all said the same thing. Pretty much almost all of them say that they all struggle with it. I think my wife is the only one I know that doesn't. But everybody else, pretty much I know, struggles with it. And something that's very interesting, I've been watching over, gosh, it's got to be over 10 years now, maybe 15 years now. I've been watching my students, and students, you know, throughout the school, having a very difficult time even remembering their teacher's name, which is, you know, kind of concerning.
Right.
You know, there'd be a kid saying, "Mister, I left my jacket over in my English teacher's room." And I'll be like, "All right, let me give you a pass. What's your teacher's name?" And they don't know. And I'm thinking, you have one English teacher, and you don't know your one English teacher's name?
Okay.
You know, or it doesn't matter if it's a math teacher or a science teacher. You know, for years, students have been coming into my classroom and saying, "Hey, mister, hey, mister."
Uh-huh.
And it's just like they don't, you know, and granted, this is the inner city, so sometimes things are a little bit different in the inner city. But for years, I've never heard a student call me by my name when they come in their classroom. It's always like, hey, mister, or hey, missus, or hey, miss. You know, so I'm seeing it in our teens today, at least in the inner cities. They are not even calling their teachers by name. So if you throw that in there, that's just, you know, that's just a common courtesy to maybe call a teacher by their name or a coach, you know, by their name, or maybe just an adult, you know, by their proper name. That's just a common courtesy that will help you get farther in this world. And our kids, at least the ones I'm exposed to, are not doing it. So you throw that in there, and then you throw in the personal struggles that I've always had, you know, of calling people by their names. And generally, trust me, I've known this grid for a long time, that a person's name is like music to their ears.
Oh, yeah.
So if you really want somebody to like you, you know, I've always said, you know, you gotta like them.
Mm-hmm.
If you like them, then they'll like you back. If you're a friend to them, they'll be a friend back to you. And one of the main things and one of the best things you can do is call them by their name, because that's like music to their ears.
Okay.
If you call them by their name, they're instantly going to like you. You know, and you're it's just such a better world to live in.
And you know, I don't think you don't have to really have – I don't think the last name is so important. I think it's so important to get that first name –